your Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Good morning and welcome to Finding Your Way Home, Real Talk on Real Estate. And today I am delighted to have with me in studio my ride or die, my partner in life and in business, Mr. Terry Doherty.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
I'm excited to have you with me today. And you can always tell when he's in studio because you get a little music beforehand. He is a professional DJ and local celebrity DJ with two of his own shows on this station. So very skilled on the board, much more than I am. However, I'm the real estate expert and he is the technology expert in our life. So thank you for joining me this morning.
Well, thanks for having me.
And we are going to chat about all things spring real estate market. You've been listening to me run around, literally crazy, working 18-hour days and long nights beyond what I'm normally awake for, but all doing it for the benefit of our community and those who are in need of making a move. So the spring market's what we're here to chat about today.
Yeah, it's been crazy. You haven't stopped. You said, oh, no, you'll get some time over the weekend to stop. This is the only time you've stopped, literally, is this morning between 10 and 10:30.
But I was already up this morning doing
some... Oh, I know.
So my brain doesn't know that it's Monday holiday weekend. So my brain woke up at 5:15 this morning and started thinking about all the things I needed to do. So I just got up.
Yeah. And I've been, unfortunately, pretty sick over the weekend. I got sick on Thursday after coming back from vacation with some friends. And I've just been sick as a dog all weekend.
So I may as well work.
You got it.
All right. Well, we're going to try and have some fun this afternoon and shut it off for a little while. But before that, let's talk about the spring market.
All right. Well, tell me what's happening in the market right now. I know personally what's happening, but maybe not everybody else knows what's going on.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a very unique experience and perspective being the spouse of a realtor. And it's funny, I see a lot of memes and things online these days of people showing that, you know, they're at dinner and their wife's writing an offer, or they're on vacation and their partner is getting a deal done so they can pay for their next vacation.
Oh, it's crazy.
And I always chuckle because it's so true. Every time we go out, I have to say something like, oh, is it okay if we just drop off a key in a lockbox? Or
I'm going to put up an open house sign.
You have to put up some open house signs for me. Even Friday night of the long weekend, you were actually putting up some for sale signs for me at a cottage.
Yeah, directional signs as well. So it was like, hey, which is a good sign. You were out of signs.
I am out of signs.
You had to go and borrow some signs, directional signs for this cottage. So it's like 8 o'clock on Friday night and we're banging in signs on the side of the highway.
I know. Well, it is very much appreciated for one, but also being the partner of a realtor, you get roped into so many things, whether it's open house security detail, which you did on Saturday, sign installation, which you did on Friday. And what are we going to do today? Well, today you're just talking on the radio with me, but I'm sure I'll come up with something we need to do.
Oh, I'm sure there's something.
Other than be extraordinarily patient with me, because I'm not quite as reliable as I used to be. Often you'll say, I'll just put dinner in the oven, or I'll push back our reservation by an hour. And even, unfortunately, with my friends, we sometimes have to just pass because I'm in the middle of a deal and I'm not going to be paying attention to what we're trying to do or have fun with our friends.
Or today it's like, hey, we need to get the satellite up and running at the internet up and running at the trailer where we're going.
Oh, yeah, I can't be out of pocket for going to our trailer this afternoon.
It's not like you want it for me or for anybody else. It's like, no, I need to be engaged.
Well, there's no way. Okay, so let's just backtrack. We were going to talk about the spring market, and it is a very busy market depending on your perspective. And I would say that I'm absolutely busy. Sometimes it's a little frustrating in the fact that your work isn't necessarily, you know, turning into something, but it's all about, you know, sowing seeds for
harvest
season.
It's funny you use a lot of these analogies, but it's literally you're working towards an ultimate goal, obviously, and at the end of the day, you know, I haven't seen any or many things fall apart at the end of the day. It's always worked into something.
Oh, I've had a few fall apart lately. Remember I was going to bang my head against the wall the other day?
Yeah, I know. I was trying to be positive. So. I got to be honest. I'm just being honest
because, you know, people think it's all glamorous to be a realtor and that you get to run around in high heels like some of the girls on TV show glamorous houses. And that is so not true because I often watch a septic tank get pumped out.
Yeah, I wish Ryan's...
I helped dig out a septic the other day.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
I am a not strong, more than 40-year-old lady, and I helped dig out a septic tank the other day. Crazy.
I was like, what happened to your gloves? You're like, septic tank. I was like, oh,
well, I'm a full-service realtor, let's put it that way, but those are the things you do that are not so glamorous. Or sometimes you sit in an open house for 2 hours that no one comes to in a vacant house with no heat.
Or all the ropers come.
Yes, or all the Mrs. Ropers. I'm pretty sure I've told that story on the air before, which is really funny. All that to say that basically if you talk to any realtor, I'm going to talk very specific to Kingston or Eastern Ontario, let's put it that way, because people hear the big news. So what's happening in Canada typically refers to what's happening in Toronto, Vancouver, and Montreal, maybe Ottawa. Doesn't matter if you're living in Kingston or if you're trying to move to Kingston. Those are big macroeconomic swings in those other urban centers, and what we really care about is what's happening locally.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's okay to hear the Toronto news and go, oh, things are down or things aren't busy. Well, they're busy here.
Well, you're saying, yeah, you live with my wife.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is. I find it very, very busy. Like, I've never seen you up at 10 normally on a night, but you're up and you're like setting alarms because you got to respond to deals by like before 11 p.m.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is absolutely very busy. So what I'll share with people is what we're busy with. So right now, the Stage One real estate team is supported by an incredible team of support people, but we have two full realtors on real estate, so myself and Rob Francis. Between Rob and I right now, we have 15 listings.
That's amazing. That's great.
A lot of listings.
It is.
However, what people don't realize is it is great, and we're very, very appreciative for the business. However, until they actually sell for a realtor, they're just expenses. So we have fronted pre-inspections, photography.
Yeah, and tell people about the pre-inspection thing, because that's not typical, right?
No, not every realtor does a pre-inspection, but the reason that we do that is because we think it's really, really important that we have the full disclosure, eyes wide open, of what we're selling. I don't ever want to get in trouble for selling something that had a material defect that I wasn't aware of. I should be aware. This is my job. So before we put a house on the market for someone, we do a pre-inspection. At our cost, it's part of our listing services, and it helps us in a couple of ways. First and foremost, it helps us with pricing the product, and the product being the home. So say someone decided they wanted to list their house for $650,000, and we get in there and we find out that the house needs a complete new roof and a new furnace. So in total, a new roof and a new furnace, let's use simple numbers, say is $20,000. Well, they could go ahead and they could get those things done, and no guarantee of still getting then $720 for the house. Sorry, did I say $600?
$650.
Sorry. What did I say?
$650.
Okay. No guarantee of getting $670 then
for the
house.
This is because Sherry's been up since 5. And
it's true. I've been up very early. No guarantee of getting the additional money back for that repair. It might sell their house quicker, but it's not going to get them a dollar for dollar recapture on that.
Sure.
So then perhaps we take the strategy that we go to market and we just list the house for $630. And we say, had it had those things new and improved, it would have been $650. But it prevents us from a negotiation post inspection after we've already put together a deal, because we're telling the buyers, we knew, and we factored that into the pricing.
Straight up, right?
Because in the scenario where we didn't do that, they may have come to a conditional agreement at the $650, and then after their own home inspection and realize those two things, they're going to come back and renegotiate to $630. So that takes the ability out of the buyer's hand, and it better represents our sellers.
Perfect. Well, that's a great idea.
Get ahead of that for them. And then the other thing that it does is, say you're a buyer and you're looking at two homes, all things equal, you just can't decide. One has an already paid for home inspection that you can have access to, and it's going to save you, say, $600 on the average home inspection. It's going to tip the scales in favor of that home. So we've done that for our seller. And in a time when you get into bidding situations, which isn't necessarily right now other than one small price band, which I'm going to cover, it would actually make sure that you get firmer, stronger offers on offer day when there is a specific offer day, because people don't have to then make it conditional on getting their own inspection.
Cool. That's awesome.
That's a lot of information.
That is a lot of information. But so I do have a question. Is it a buyer's market right now or a seller's market? Is it both?
It's balanced, tilted towards buyers.
Okay. And why?
Well, it's interesting because I did want to touch on that. People believe that, and this is true in part, but then I'm going to talk about how it's not really the experience that we're having on our team. People believe that we have a flood of inventory on the market because anybody who got their mortgage in 2020 or 2021 got a really low interest rate during the times when everything was unhealthy and unnatural during COVID, including that mortgage rates were unhealthy and unnatural and unsustainable. So you fast forward 5 years to now, and all of those people are renewing their mortgages on the five-year term, and they're now renewing their mortgage at 3 times the interest rate.
So no longer 1.9, it's now 5.8 or whatever
something,
it is.
Something, yeah. So the theory is that people can't afford their own homes anymore. And that is actually true in some cases. It's also true if it was an investment property, because you can't raise rent as quickly as the interest rates have changed to cover your expenses if this was an investment property for you. So there are a lot of people on the market. It would have been an investment property for them. So that makes sense why we are inventory heavy. And it's not just my team. It's all realtors. You know, buyers right now are kind of gold because they're, I don't know, I'm going to say for every 10 people I'm talking to right now, 2 are buyers and 8 are sellers.
Okay.
And so, based on simple law of supply and demand, if there's more supply than demand, then prices soften.
Okay. But, I mean, the mortgage rates aren't crazy. I mean, my parents went through a time where it was 17, 18%.
Oh, I know. Anybody that's my age or above remembers when mortgage rates were double digits.
Yeah.
So they still sound fine to you and I.
Yeah.
But to people who got spoiled the COVID rates,
yeah,
they feel like, oh my goodness. And sometimes they overbought. And don't forget, sometimes they overpaid because they got excited in a bidding situation.
Yeah, and they just didn't even...
threw an extra $100,000 on the table. So even if they're trying to sell, they can't sell for the same price.
Yeah, so they're upside down in their investment as well.
So people are stuck. What I wanted to share, though, is so the people that we're currently working with, that isn't necessarily the primary driver for why people are selling. And I'm thinking about all of the 15 listings that Rob and I have, and I can't think of one that is a financial motivation.
Oh, okay.
Which is really interesting.
So why are people moving?
Right. I thought I'd share some stories about why people are moving. And it's interesting in every different situation, obviously. I'm going to leave out names to protect the people's privacy.
To protect the innocent.
Protect the innocent. But there's lots of reasons other than, and in large part, you're going to see a theme that it has to do with location. It doesn't have to do with financial desire. So I'll give you an example. I have a couple who I work with every couple of years. They're great clients. I adore them. I adore their daughter. And they moved to Brockville a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
They moved to Brockville because they wanted to be closer to her best friend. And they lived there for a couple of years. And unfortunately, her best friend passed away.
Yeah, that's terrible.
And now they don't want to be in Brockville anymore.
No.
It's just too sad. And so that has nothing to do with their financial ability. It just has to do with where they want to put their roots down. And the reason they moved there wasn't their hometown. And the reason they moved there is gone now.
Yep.
So now they want to come back towards this way a little bit more, probably closer to Napanee. So that's an interesting point. Then I also have another lady in Picton whose house is up for sale because they previously had been doing multi-generational living.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like I'm going to talk a lot about death, actually.
No, I know.
Which is a big reason why people move.
Absolutely, it is.
But they were doing multi-generational. The grandmother that was living with them passed away as well. And now the matriarch of that family, who is now the senior member and the grandmother, wants to move to Belleville to be closer to her grandchildren.
Totally makes sense. I mean,
again,
it is what it is.
Not 1 ounce of financial motivation, just I want to be closer to my grandchildren and get as many years in with them as I can.
Yeah, that's
perfectly.
Perfect
example. The other example out there would be because it's an estate. So again, some people passed away. It's funny because I listen to Tom Ferry, who is a coach and a guru in the real estate industry, and he always talks about the reasons people move, and it's death, divorce, diapers. I can't remember the other one, but then he always makes a joke that he doesn't know the fifth one, so he calls it delocation, which is really relocation. He just tries to say there's 5 D's.
Nice.
But those are really the reasons that people... Oh, I think diamonds. That's the other one. death, divorce, diapers, diamonds, and then he says delocation because he wants to make it a D as well. But those really are the primary reasons. We have someone else moving because they've realized they have two properties. So they have a cottage on a lake, and then they also have a home, and they bought another home, which is just on a nice private piece of property that they've decided is going to be the home that's going to be easier for them to manage as they get older. So both their home and their cottage are up for sale right now. And again, that's about shuffling the cards for them as they get older. And they bought this other nice piece of private property that they're all very excited about. And we also have a military couple.
I was going to say, you got that military move.
Exactly.
So, and it's military move time, right?
It is military move time. And so the military says that this young couple is going to Germany. And so they're going to Germany. And therefore, they have to sell their house. So that's the kind of people that we're working with and the reasons. And I'm literally thinking, like, as it comes to mind, I can't think of one that is a financial hardship, like an actual, I can't afford this anymore because of those mortgage rates that I talked to you about at the beginning.
Yeah.
So there's many people, there's many reasons, but what we were even saying, like during COVID, was life was still happening. So even at that time, and even if this is like harder financial times, there's still people dying. There's still people getting married. There's still people getting divorced. There is people having financial hardship, and there are people being transferred for their work. So there's all sorts of things happening in life.
So can young people actually get into a home at this time?
Well, that's the other thing that you hear all the time on the media.
Oh, which, yeah. I keep hearing like, oh, it's impossible to get a house.
It is not, because you've personally met young couples that we have sold houses to this year.
But is it more about location then? So maybe you can't buy a $1 million house in Toronto. But who can?
Who wants to?
Yeah.
Sorry, that was my indoor voice.
Yeah, yeah. But who can, right? Like that was always a problem to buy in the GTA, in my opinion.
Right.
You had to have generational wealth.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's interesting because the people that I've worked with, first of all, I adore working with young couples. I look at them all and I imagine that they're one of our kids.
Yeah, they're in awe.
And I want them to get, you know, I want to mother them all and give them the very best advice and the very best guidance. So it is, I have a warm spot in my heart for them for sure. But I think it really just takes some discipline and some perseverance. And yeah, we bought our first house when you were like 21 or something and I was 23 or 24. Mm-hmm. These people are a little bit later in their young adult years. So late 20s, early 30s. So it does take a little bit longer to do that saving. But in the cases that I'm thinking about, it wasn't generational wealth and it wasn't generational gift. It was just some hard work and good old fashioned savings.
Yeah.
One of them was a EA in the school system, like in one couple I'm thinking of. She was an EA in the school system and he did something IT from home. I don't know what exactly he did, but he did something IT from home. And, you know, nobody handed them some money, but they saved up. And they were so adorable. You know who I'm talking about. They were such a cute couple. We're going to go visit them because they're kind of about a little 45-minute drive away. But when we're up there, we're going to go visit them. But then I will just tell sort of a quirky story, which is super annoying for them. However, it doesn't always go perfect. It was a great house. They love the house and they're still loving it. Obviously, they've been in it for a couple months. But when they moved in, they discovered there was a squirrel living in their fireplace.
There's always something living in your house.
Well, there was a squirrel living in their fireplace. So it's, you know, they get into their house, they're celebrating with their keys and they're trying to sleep the first night and something's rattling around and crunching around and they just, what? There's a squirrel in our fireplace. And I think, to be honest, the seller must have known because it wasn't like the first time and there was some damage in there that had shown that he'd probably been in there for a little bit.
Maybe he was just visiting.
No, there were some conversations with some lawyers and there was some compensation for having to get the squirrel out of there because that takes a proper pest control company.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not a squirrel hunter.
Yeah, so there's always a little funny story in there. But speaking of fireplaces, because that takes me to my thought about my other young couple. So then I have another young couple who have recently been able to purchase their first home. And again, I'm sure that they're over 30 as well, but they've saved and worked really hard and they're really excited about their new home. And again, I don't remember exactly what both of them do, but I'm 99% certain no one gave them money. It was just really hard work and saving. They have multiple children. They're moving because of proximity to a certain school for their child.
Yeah, Kingston, I find, is very much like that. Like when we were moving, they were like, you're going to love this school district. I didn't even put that into plan. when we were thinking.
Oh, we did.
No, not...
We had a little bit of a story.
A little bit, but not as much as...
Well, we don't have any... I'm going to say this funny, but we don't have any unique needs, so we didn't necessarily need French immersion.
No.
We should have for our kids, yeah. But we didn't do French immersion. Neither one of them had, needed it. Extra assistance with schooling, and sometimes when a child needs extra assistance, yeah. There's better ones than not for that, and that really matters to people.
And I guess, but that if you don't know, you don't know, right? This is what I'm saying. It looks like a nice neighborhood. We drove around, and it was nice.
Yes, we did learn some lessons about the schools, particular to our son.
Yeah.
By the time we got here, our daughter was in high school, but our son had to move a couple times to find the right fit for him. So,
yeah.
We can.
It is what it is.
Those are stories for us, but that's okay. So interestingly enough, that couple is also soon to move in. I think May 29th is their closing date. And they're very, very excited about their new home. It's gorgeous. I'm very excited about it. I will share, though, that, again, sometimes things are imperfect. And this one, good on the listing agent, had full disclosure that there was a water issue. And, well, most houses had water issues this spring, including ours.
Yeah, I mean, it was an anomaly. So this winter had such a freeze-thaw going on that if you had any imperfections in anywhere in your house or any ability for water to get in, it was finding a way in.
Oh, it found it.
Yeah. Our basement got flooded twice.
Right, well, three times if you count when the hot water tank blew up.
Yeah, so
once was the hot water tank just before Christmas and about 10 days before our daughter's wedding.
Yeah, crazy.
And then two other times that was freeze-thaw.
Yeah, kind of stuff just happens.
It's home ownership.
It is home ownership. And I say that, sometimes you're mortgage poor because you're just spending to keep things going.
Yeah, well, I think I've shared with people last year we were saving to pay for a wedding, and this year we know sometime in the next year or two we need a new furnace.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be in for a new furnace sometime in the next year or two. So
it's
welcome
crazy.
To home ownership.
Yeah, I mean, and these are the things people don't think about, right, when you're buying a house, so the pre-inspection is very important.
Right.
And
interesting, though, I won't forget. So our daughter moved to Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, because she's married to a military person. And I remember the day she phoned me and she said, I'm about to say the most adult thing I've ever said, and it's gross. And I said, okay, what are you telling me? And she said, I'm buying a hot water tank.
Yeah.
Which is, then when you're first adulting and you use the words, I have to buy a hot water tank, not fun. But their hot water tank also gave.
Yeah. So let's, when you're buying a house, there's lots of things that go into that. So you can get rental hot water tanks, you can get rental furnaces, rental air conditioners. Mm-hmm. What's the pros and the cons?
I would not, if you can buy one that is owned outright, that is my preference.
Yep.
Obviously, you don't want to just pay for years and years and years and not ultimately own something. The only pro to any of those things being a rental is a service plan.
Okay.
If it's a rental, like the hot water tank or the furnace or the AC even, then typically they come out and service it as part of your rental program, which is then you avoid the peaks and valleys of a big repair.
But, are they expensive, the rentals?
No, a rental of, I've seen people, depending on what you're renting, a hot water tank rental can be $40 a month.
That's pretty reasonable, right?
Which is fairly reasonable. But if you are renting a whole, also you got to be careful because some of those contracts are tricky. And I know that we've looked at some of them previously for people.
I know what they are, so that's why I'm bringing it up.
Some of them are basically lifetime contracts that you can never get out of.
Yeah.
And so they're tricky, and you got to be really careful about them because sometimes, you do need a whole new HVAC system, and all of a sudden you don't have the spare $10,000 or $15,000, so it looks better to finance it. But the small print can be very tricky. And like I said, sometimes they're impossible to cancel. So you got to be very careful about that. I'm not necessarily a fan. I always say if you have another way to finance it, such as a line of credit or go and visit a lender or somebody that's going to allow you to pay it off at your own flexibility, I think that's a better way to go. And that's the same advice I'd give our kids. You know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you were talking about that. Big things you just want to make sure when you're buying a house is that it is structurally sound. So you know that I carry
Sorry.
That's okay. You already said you were sick.
Yeah.
I carry marbles in my purse.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Which is for a reason.
The marble trick.
The marble trick. It's not really a trick. I'm just demonstrating something. Sometimes you can obviously see slope and ground.
Oh, yeah. We were out a couple of weeks ago, and I felt like I was running up a hill in some house.
Oh, that house was crazy.
It was.
You didn't even need my marbles out to show that this floor was wonky.
You felt like you were in a fun house at the Ontario Science Center.
Yeah.
It just was so uneven. I was like, man.
What happened here? Yeah. But typically, so wonky flooring, though, cannot always be a bad thing. So worst case scenario, it can be an evidence of the actual foundation having structural problems. But at the end of the day, also, it can just be like bad flooring on top of subflooring.
Yeah, it can be, but not in this house.
Not in this house that you're talking about in particular. But sometimes people just put down like, you know, the wood, and then they put down a subfloor, and the subfloor gets wonky, and then they lay laminate over it.
Yeah, it's all dependent on what you're putting down as your subfloor. So if you're putting down a particle board or something light or whatever that will buckle and sweat in the weather, yes, I get it. But this floor... This was not that case.
Oh, no, it was bad.
This was a roller coaster.
We walked in with the buyer and went, wow, and then we all walked right back out.
Yeah.
It was not great.
It was crazy.
But the point of the marbles is that when people can't see it, and I mean, I have a trained eye because I've looked at enough of them now, when people can't see them, I say, okay, let me just put this marble in the middle of the floor, and if this floor is level, it really shouldn't go anywhere or very far, and it'll just roll right off to the left and down a hill or something. So it's a great way to demonstrate to people.
I'm sure you remember this one. We were looking at for our first house out here. We ended up in an area and we saw that the floor had been moved around, and it didn't make a lot of sense because this home was really beautifully built. What it turned out to be was they had removed the jack posts in the basement so they could have a more open basement, and the floor kind of went in.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
No.
Definitely something you want to have.
Avoid.
Thankfully, we had home inspections.
Yeah.
Because we bought two houses that fell apart on home inspection.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm very thankful that the one that we're in today had a good home inspection.
Yeah, I remember the home inspector saying, because you really wanted this other house.
I did,
the home inspector went, I suggest you don't walk, you run.
Right. He said, I'm about to break your heart.
Yeah. It was crazy.
True.
But home inspections are a very big part of the process.
Well, you are... in most cases, spending $500,000. If you're buying a single family home, you're spending $500,000 and up, and you're going to pay for it in most cases for 25 years.
Now, let's get away from home inspection or homes and talk about rentals.
Okay.
So purchases. We only have a few minutes left, but let's talk about rentals. Would you suggest an inspection on a rental too? Do they do that?
No.
No, generally they don't?
No, because the actual structure and the maintenance of the systems are on the owner.
Okay.
So if the furnace goes or if the air conditioning goes.
Oh, it all falls back on the owner.
And that's the owner.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I wouldn't do that. I do think that renting can make sense for people sometimes, particularly while you're in that period of saving. Some people just also don't ever want to own a home.
Well, I have a friend who's a lawyer and he has never owned a home.
Right.
He said, no, I don't... I spend my winters down south. What do I want a home here for?
Right. Well, there's also other ways to make money. And I know that sounds funny from a realtor, but one of the most honest realtors you'll ever find is there are other ways to make money that are less painful, particularly if you have investment properties. There's a lot of complications sometimes between landlords and tenants.
Yeah.
And we've not ventured into investment properties just because we like to joke, but we just say, you know what, our investments and our RSPs are nice and tidy and quiet and tight, and we don't have to go fix things in the middle of the night.
Yeah, my investments never have a leak.
They never have a leaky toilet in the middle
of
the night.
No, they don't.
They do leak actually sometimes, depending on what's going on in the stock market, but
yeah,
that's okay. I'm going to take it in for a landing because we are getting close, and I really, really appreciate you being here today.
Thanks. I don't get to often come back and visit, so I do enjoy this.
You usually do it your day job at this time in the morning on a Monday. You did ask me, though, is it a buyer's or a seller's market? I would hedge on the side of buyers. So if you are pre-approved and if you are looking to buy a home, now is a really great time for you to be out there. There is less competition and you can get good due diligence in all the conditions that you want. And there is lots of choice, particularly I would suggest in the condo market. If you wanted to pick up some condos right now, we're not hurting quite as much as the Toronto condo market, but there definitely is a bunch of inventory for condos, and we have some great options in Kingston. You can get a condo for like under $200,000, or you can get one for over $1 million. With that, I wish you and all of our listeners a great day finding their way home.
The radio show that helps you relax and unwind after a busy day. Raccoon Radio Show with Gino Alash. Hard rock and heavy metal. Every Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston, Ontario, Canada. Stay heavy.
That was White Horse, the award-winning husband and wife duo of Luke Doucette and Melissa McClelland, with Two and Only, the closing track to their 2026 full-length album, All I Want Is All of It. And before then, the show opened with another married duo, J.T. Nero and Allison Russell, who performed together as Birds of Chicago. Now, before Montreal-born Russell became a Grammy Award-winning solo artist, she and her husband released 3 full-length studio albums and 1 EP, and we heard the title track to their 2018 album, Love in Wartime. Hello, everyone, and welcome to No Chords Barred, 90 minutes of music by artists from around the globe covering the past 5 decades. Now, in this episode, we go as far back as 1985 and serve up a healthy blend of mainstream and lesser-known artists. Now, depending on your age and music knowledge, however, some of those mainstream artists might be unknown to you, as most of them first hit the scene 20 or more years ago. Now, the idea is to scramble it all together to show that despite music coming from different eras, it can still sound good alongside each other. So we'll move into the next set and start with Calgary-based Marielle Buckley. From her 2025 Juno Award-winning album, Strange Trip Ahead, this is Anvil.
Traffic's at a standstill on the edge of where you come into town. My stomach, there's an anvil waiting for the truth to come out. Guess it's too late to cancel. Where would I even go if I did? Here are pictures on the
but I swallowed hard and sat there soft and still. And every time I tried to trust someone, I would come undone, and I was theirs to kill. Well, I'm gonna have to find my own way now. Well, the kings and queens did not really know. They acted like they belonged, so we went along with the show. But after some time, I began to find the cracks where all of the money goes and what they sell us back. And sometimes what's lost cannot be found. Sometimes your heroes let you down. When the lights come up, you'll see it for what it was. And we're gonna have to find our own way now. Bought a poster and I hung it up. I was a poser, but I was close enough. Patched his name upon my jacket sleeve. Put on my faith in ideology. But sometimes what's lost cannot be found. Sometimes your heroes let you down. When the lights come up, you'll see it for what it was. And we're gonna have to find our own way now. And don't I wish that I was still a kid, and I did not learn about the things I did. Cause weren't the curtains high on all things big, and ain't they coming down? Once I heard the sound, so clear and quite profound. Once I held it in my hand and swore I'd never put it down. But when the lights come up, you'll see it for what it was. And we're gonna have to find our own way now. Yeah, we're gonna have to find our own.
Everything was fine till time broke that day. I looked into the eyes of a woman I couldn't find. Scared to death, I ran until I was out of breath. I found comfort in the meadow, stargazing.
But why do I ask when I already know the answer? Oh,
That was British singer-songwriter Tessa Rose Jackson with the song Fear Bangs the Drum, which can be found on her 2026 album The Lighthouse, the first album she released under her own name, having recorded previously under the moniker Someone. Now, she was preceded by the Boston alternative rock band Phi Lacey with Angels and the Others from their 2026 debut album Elephant in the Room, and the Americana supergroup Fantastic Cat with Sometimes Your Heroes Let You Down, a track from their 2024 album,